Hey guys, welcome back to episode 3 of The Landing. I'm here with the conference finals edition of the NBA playoffs with Yags again. How you going, Yags?
Yeah, good, thanks, Landy. Thanks again for having me.
Yep, North. So we've had an interesting end to the second round of the playoffs. We've had Philly losing game 7 to the Hawks, who I just don't think anyone really picked in this this series. And basically the implosion of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I just don't really see their future together, which we'll get into. But what are your initial thoughts of, first of all, game 7 and overall kind of like the implications going forward?
Well, it was kind of like a typical game 7. You know, like Trae Young shot the ball awfully. It's sort of, you know, those game 7s where everyone, even the best players in the world, just crumble back
like
to
the 2016 game 7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, there's just so much pressure in a game 7 that it seems to affect everyone. And I think that obviously affected Simmons the most when he didn't go for that open dunk, which I guess, as Embiid sort of said in the post match, was kind of like the turning point.
Yeah,
and
thought that was a bit cheeky by him.
Yeah, that was. I think that was unfair. Like, yeah, he's your teammate, and you know your best player alongside you. But yeah, I think Philly, they choked this whole series. They threw away that many massive leads during the series, and then it came down to a game 7. And at the end of the day, I think Atlanta just had better shooters and came up big when it mattered. Like, who was it? Gallinari, who got the steal off Embiid at the end and went up the other end, and that was sort of the end of it. But
yeah, that open dunk.
Yeah, the fact that Trae Young only had 5 buckets for the whole game off like 23 shots.
Yeah,
and yet they've still won. It's a credit to the rest of the Hawks. A credit to Nack McMillan, the coach. And who would have thought, as you said,
yeah, exactly. Conference finals with the Hawks. We were raving about Nate McMillan, like I think on the first episode, because I thought that it was stiff by the Pacers to get rid of him, because I thought he was doing a great job.
Yeah.
And then now we've seen the Pacers kind of like
fall off,
and then the Hawks come into it. But yeah, first of all, like with the Ben Simmons open dunk, obviously, like it's very easy to nitpick specific plays, especially like in retrospect.
Yeah.
But overall, like, he definitely should go off hard for that, but obviously he was like had demons about going to the free throw line, so he didn't want to risk it. But although it was like a somewhat nice pass, but like,
yeah, if I think
it ended up being a 1 free throw out of 2, so it, like, you can kind of look back.
He would have made the dunk anyway. It would have been an and one at worst.
Exactly, so, but I think that is very like that is a bit of carry on by Joel Embiid to call him out, and just
it's
generally bad culture. Because
although
I don't see Ben Simmons and Embiid staying together, whether that's Ben Simmons moving or Joel Embiid moving, but I do think you do have to back your teammates in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even after like a game 7 loss. But yeah, I thought the Hawks were awesome to watch. I thought Trae Young, even though he shot poorly, he stayed aggressive. He like kind of seemed confident, even like despite him missing shots. And like, as you saw in the fourth quarter, he was awesome. Like, I think he probably hit 2 or 3 of those 5 field goals in that last
he had that 3 from like 30 feet.
Exactly.
With like 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, but I just think generally, like, and this might be a little bit of carry on by me, but I'm always very interested in like the energy levels in playoff series. And I think the Hawks, obviously they're a bit younger, they're a bit more fired up, and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons have a bit more to prove. But I just thought their energy off, like, the whether it was like the bench players or just like on the, like kind of like looking to the crowd and kind of like firing them up and whatever, I think that's just like really important for like confidence in like in the whole like kind of like winning a game 7. I just think like if you like any shots of Ben Simmons' face or anything like that, he just had like kind of like a pretty like plain face,
which looked like he was enjoying himself.
Yeah, he's generally pretty like emotionless either way, but like I just think you kind of can kind of like buy yourself by just kind of like not like kind of firing up the younger teammates and stuff like that. And I think now where Philly go from here is they're in a really difficult situation, because you look at like a couple of years ago when Ben Simmons kind of like got onto the scene or kind of like took that step and became an all-star or whatever, people were saying like, oh, like it's pretty crazy how he can be an all-star without shooting, and then now how quickly things can turn. But yeah, what do you think about his kind of like free throw woes and just generally just like his lack of like confidence? Like, I think he took no field goals in the fourth quarter in the last 3 games. Like that, which is just ridiculous, because I don't care who you are, but you can't have your second best player not being able to score. As we saw with the Warriors this year without Klay, Draymond was arguably the second best player on the team, couldn't shoot, and like it just can't be done.
Yeah, it becomes such a liability, exactly. Especially in the last quarter when things get like choked up.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like that's why the dunk was so weird. I think because obviously he doesn't ever want to take a jump shot.
Yeah,
but the fact that he missed an open dunk, like an opportunity to make an open dunk, which is like he's so good in the paint.
Yeah, he is.
That really shows how much he's lacking in confidence. And it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, well, from here. If you had to kind of like, well, I actually just want to quickly mention with the shooting, is that like I said this to you the other day, I find it interesting with Ben Simmons how someone that's like really athletic at a young age, and especially Ben Simmons who was playing in Melbourne for like a bit of his schooling and then obviously went to America. But like when someone's that athletic at 6'10", you can kind of rely on your athleticism so far. Because like if it's just similar to kind of like you look at old like Zion highlights and he's just dunking on all these these skinny like teenagers. And it's just like, okay, like what are they going to actually do? And I just think unlike someone like Zion, who's you can see him slowly developing his jump shot because you have to, because your athleticism's not going to stay with you forever. And LeBron is the best case of it. Like obviously he came into the league with still like a decent jump shot, but look how much it's improved. He's literally like amazing at like from like three now. And like
now when he like pulls up from three, you're scared.
Exactly. And like I think Ben Simmons is at least in his first, what, how many years has he been in the league? Six? Five?
Yeah, five.
Five or six?
2016 draft.
He just hasn't like shown enough to improve that. And I think that's really like could like really ruin his career because it's just like you're like, people, you look at it, he doesn't even look at the basket when he's got the ball. It's always just pass first every time. And it's just like, it's quite like, it makes him just completely irrelevant in any half-court offense.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's fine in the regular season when, you know, you're playing one-off games and teams don't plan for you. And it's a bit more open. But, like, as we know, in the playoffs, everything sort of becomes half-court. It's not constant transition.
Yeah.
He gets fanned out because he can't even, like, suck the defense out because they can just... like slack off him, exactly. Knowing that he's not going to shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, even yesterday he had 12 or 13 assists. So he obviously played well in that part of the game. But when it matters in the last quarter, it just...
What do you have, 8 points? 6 points?
Four?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Like that is...
Like
I was having more than 4 points in under eight. Like, all right. Yeah. Like that's just...
And he's the second best player.
Yeah, you just can't have that.
You're... When he's doing that and he's not even going to take a shot, you're almost better off putting him on the bench and bringing on like...
Unfortunately, Doc Rivers had to do that down the stretch. And I think, like, what do you think that's going to do you to confidence?
Exactly.
Like, it's literally just dead set. It's going to put you more in a hole. Yeah. Exactly. And if you had to kind of, like, realistic options, where would you like to see Ben? Or, like, what would you kind of, like, where would you see him, like, kind of fitting in or something like that?
I feel like that CJ for Ben would be an interesting trade because the Blazers need to do something.
Yeah.
Dame and CJ as a duo is never going to win a title.
Unfortunately.
And maybe Dame could get the best out of Ben because Dame's a good leader.
Yeah.
He could get his confidence back, maybe even teach him how to shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
And then obviously Philly need to do something. CJ I feel like would be a good compliment to Embiid.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if CJ and Embiid's winning you a title.
Yeah,
and
no.
I don't know if Simmons and Dame are either. But I think both those teams need to do something. What else? Like, what about Golden State would be interesting.
Yeah, that's what
do you reckon they have the package for it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll talk about it a bit later. A little bit later. But with the, draft, like, order getting done tomorrow. If the Warriors can get... the Minnesota top three pick. And I think at the moment I was reading it's like 72.5% chance of getting that. Whatever that means, whatever algorithm that works. But if we can get that, we could obviously package that with Wiggins. But at the moment, Ben Simmons' value is as low as it's going to be. Especially for an all-star, it's very low.
Yeah,
I also am hesitant in a way if we keep Draymond and Ben Simmons, because you can't play both of them at the same time. The league's too good at shooting now to have two players down the stretch who can't shoot.
Yeah. You can't even have one.
Exactly. Simmons. Literally, you get called out. Look at Gobert in the Jazz series.
Yeah.
So I think, although like in my head it could like kind of work, because like you just picture Ben Simmons like running the break, passing it out to Stephen Clay. But at the same time, above all else, Ben Simmons is gonna have to get like a foundation like shooting ability, because otherwise he's gonna be out of the league. It's honestly like we're just like not relevant enough.
Yeah, he's never gonna be an all star again if he can't. Yeah, if you can't shoot.
Right now, because when you get on the wrong side of the media, you can literally like your career can just get like dictated so much by them. So like yeah, I agree with that.
It'd be so good to see him get a jumper, because then he's got all the tools and he can become like that next sort of Magic.
Yeah,
obviously he won't be probably that good, but
exactly.
Just like that kind of talent, like a 6'10" point guard.
It's awesome.
He's athletic and has all the tools in the world.
You gotta get something.
If he wants to be a great player rather than a really good player, he needs to get a shot.
100%. And what did you, just quickly, after this we're done with the Ben Simmons chat, what did you think about him pulling out of the Boomers? Or like, I don't think it's fully confirmed, but like might
pull out. It seems like he will. Yeah, I think it's...
Cowardly?
I don't think it's cowardly necessarily, but it's really frustrating for Aussie fans. And obviously, the Boomers have put a lot of time into his development as well. And it's like not the first time he's pulled out as well.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating. And also, just like the fact he's our best player. Like if he plays...
And he's so young as well. It's not like he's coming off an injury or something like that. So it's a bit frustrating.
And I also think that the Boomers would be really good for him to just get out of the NBA bubble.
Get out of Philly.
Get out of Philly. Because the Australian media will get around him. We're an underdog. Like, you know, we're going against the US. He'd be hanging out with Ingles, Patty Mills, like Deli, like all these nice guys.
Yeah,
they're all going to get around him. And I think it'd be like a... Olympic hoops seem a lot more relaxing than the day-to-day of the NBA.
100%.
So I think
100%.
It'd be actually good for him if he did.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know.
I understand if he doesn't want to.
Yeah, and I guess like his whole... I think the press release was just like for skill development or something like that, which... He does need, but I guess we'll have to see. And just quickly as well, you mentioned it the other day. So with Trae Young doing so well and reaching the Eastern Conference Finals, it kind of makes the Trae versus Luka argument, like adds a bit of spice. And I reckon, obviously, the Hawks didn't pick Luka. I think a lot of people were very quick to bash that fairly because Luka was just like... arguably one of the best 22-year-old players of all time.
Yeah.
But this kind of like adds a bit of kind of like bit of juice to the Trae Young debate.
Yeah, definitely. I think you'd still take Luka.
Yeah, definitely.
You can now say that the Hawks made that, they didn't make the wrong pick.
Exactly.
Like, that's justified their pick now. And also since they drafted Trae, the way they've built around him is better than the way the Mavs have built around Doncic.
Smart, yeah.
You know, they've got like Bogdanovic, who's like a really good secondary scorer. And then they like got Capella, who's like really perfect for Trae Young because he's got so good at that pick and roll stuff, which you know he did in Houston with Harden. So I think that's the thing when you draft a player, you need to know how to build around him as well.
Yeah.
So like the Hawks have drafted Trae, and then they've made really good decisions from then to support him best.
And that is crucial. It's easier said than done. But the Hawks have been really impressed with them. I'm keen to see how they go against the Bucks because obviously it's definitely the hardest series they'll have out of the Knicks and Philly and the Bucks. But I'd love them to win a couple of games or something like that. Like there's definitely a chance they get swept. But I don't know. I'm kind of,
it's an interesting series, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess because I've gone against the Hawks for every series, I'm like, all right, so surely like they're actually decent. Out. You know what I mean? Like all that, it's kind of a tough one. Let's move on. So KD and the Nets fall to the Bucks. It was a strange series because obviously there was a few blowouts early, but once Kyrie went down, it turned into a seriously like interesting series based on just
it was a bit of like a slog.
Yeah, like because and that game 7, one of the best I've ever seen. Like that, all the players were just completely gassed. Like it looked like, it looks like they were fighting, like because they dead set with all these, the heavy breathing and stuff like that. So I thought it was awesome. KD, I love KD. I loved him at the Warriors and I've just generally loved watching him. I remember when he beat Kobe, I think it was 2011. It was 2012 because they won. It was 2011. Yeah. 2012, and they knocked. I remember they knocked out Kobe, and I was just like, "Jeez, this guy is unbelievable." Yeah. And he would have been like 22 or something like that.
Yeah.
But he was just, first of all, it's exciting to see someone come back from an Achilles at such a high level.
He's playing the best basketball of his career.
Exactly. It's incredible. Which is awesome. I thought it was interesting that he's playing the Olympics just based on his health. I thought on the back end of his career, yeah, he'd kind of be a bit more careful. But I thought he was awesome. But full credit to Giannis and the Bucks for pulling it out. Like, I thought Giannis, obviously, everyone expects him to be like a KD, a LeBron, a kind of like a Steph, someone that they can really rely on down the stretch. But the thing is, Giannis just isn't that player. He's like, he can be the best player on your team, but you do really need someone down the stretch because he's like Shaq in a way. Like, Shaq wasn't really unlocked until he had Kobe.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think Giannis,
Shaq
really,
was a liability in the last 4 minutes.
Exactly. So I think Middleton stepped up. I thought he was huge down the stretch.
Even Holiday, he was like awful the whole series. But in that last quarter, he hit like 3 shots in a row.
Yeah, he played similar to Trae Young in his game 7. Yeah. But yeah, I thought I'm really happy for the Bucks. Obviously, they have never won. They won 1971. So that's 50 years ago. So that's like good for them.
Mm.
The Nets, I don't think they'll be too disheartened. Like, injuries kill. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, if they had lost without any injuries, they would have copped it a lot from the media. But I think they're just not going to cop it based on just how brilliant like KD was and how they kind of like copped all these injuries.
Yeah, I think like if there was ever any doubt about KD, it's all gone now. Like he can carry a team.
He
clearly
is
he's
unbelievable.
He's the best shooter apart from Steph and Dame. That's like over 6'3".
He's insane.
His mid-range is better than anyone's. His mid-range is better than Jordan's almost.
Dead
it's
set.
Unstoppable.
Like, yeah, Sam and I were having this debate the other day.
Definitely better than
Kobe's. Like better like scorer, MJ or KD. So he matches up against anyone because there's just no one like him.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, you can't name someone who is his size and moves
and
like he does.
He's better than Kobe and MJ.
He's unbelievable. Mm. But yeah, what are you kind of like? Are you kind of shipping the Bucks, or like who would you like to see kind of come out of the East?
I think both would be a good story. I feel like this now Giannis has this opportunity to stamp himself and win the chip. He's got obviously a few lucky breaks, which everyone
needs. Does. Yeah.
You need that to win any chip, especially your first.
Yeah.
And obviously there's no LeBron, and now he's knocked out the Nets. So he plays a young Hawks team. I don't know what the odds are, but I assume they're massive favorites.
Yeah.
And
I think the Hawks are at $3.50
like 2 years ago, they lost to the Raptors when they're up 2-0. So I don't think Giannis will let that happen again. And even, obviously he wasn't as good as KD in that series, but he was pretty close. And
he was awesome.
He had about 39 in game 7.
Yes, which...
And he's just his... Even though he's still obviously a bit of a liability shooting-wise, just his determination. Like, he was scrapping.
Yeah, he was...
So you can't deny his heart or anything ever again. He was really out there, like, toughing it out.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he won the war of attrition.
Yeah, no, I think, like, it's very important to just remember that, like, players have flaws.
Mm.
And I think it can be very quick to kind of, like, after you win an MVP to appoint them, it's like, oh, they have to be good at everything. But you can't. Like, like anything in life, you literally have to develop it over years and years and you get better and better and more efficient and whatever. And I think he's going to get better because he's got, as you said, he's got that drive, he's got that heart. But, like, I think, if he can get a chip now, this would be really good for his kind of, like, career projections.
And
it
boosts his confidence so much as
100%. All right, so let's talk about Clippers over the Jazz. So I was probably quietly hoping the Jazz were going to chip up this year. Like, I'm a big Donovan Mitchell fan. But yeah, I thought they were so disappointing. Obviously,
really disappointing.
Donovan Mitchell was a bit injured, and so was Conley. So it's kind of, again, it's always frustrating when there's injuries because you just want 100% health. So you just see who wins. But like, I think you sometimes feel a bit cheated with injuries. But yeah, Clippers, playoff PJ.
It was incredible.
Yeah, I'm also a bit of a PJ fan as well, so I was pretty happy about that. But yeah, the Jazz completely wasted an opportunity. I don't care, even if Donovan Mitchell was at 75%.
Yeah, but they had no Kawhi.
Yeah, so. No Kawhi is huge, and they should have stamped on their throats.
Yeah, I thought, because it was what, Jazz were up 2-0.
Yep.
2-0. And then
they won game 3 as well.
Yeah, and I thought, oh yeah, Clippers might, and then it was 2-0, and then Kawhi goes out. So once Kawhi went out, I was like, oh, Jazz will probably win 4-2.
Everyone was saying that,
And then PJ has, like, the game of his life in Utah in game 5, And they really did well there, the Clippers. And then game six, Utah up by like 28 or 26. Something
was
absurd.
Oh, I was so frustrated.
Like, just looking at the score and I was like, wow. And then looked at it 10 minutes later and all of a sudden Terrence Mann was going off and the Clippers just went nuts. And yeah, it just seems like the biggest choke ever from the Jazz.
Yeah, I agree.
But like all credit to the Clippers.
Yeah. But,
like the Jazz were the number one
it's
seed.
It's strange. And now Kawhi's back apparently in game three of the Western Conference Finals. So look, obviously he's always pretty careful with his health, but if he's like at 85%, like the Clippers could 100% win the chip, which is
yeah. If he's like fit enough,
and if PG just, is,
keeps saying, I think they're my favorites if Kawhi comes back.
Really? Yeah.
Is that probably the most depth?
I'd probably put they do, I reckon. But I'd probably still take the Bucks, I reckon, overall.
Yeah.
But like
it's definitely Bucks Clippers finals would be pretty mid.
Yeah, no, 100%. Just like a lot of like guys that like PG and like Giannis who haven't been in the finals, so yeah. Pretty exciting.
And this is a credit to Tyronn Lue.
Yeah.
Like I think there's some stat, he's like 5-0 or some amazing stat in game 7s.
Yeah, it's
between Cleveland and LA.
Remind me.
So not game 7s, close that game.
Oh, yeah, don't remind me that.
So, like, he's just obviously such a good coach.
Yeah, and yeah, he's been great.
The Clippers are better with him than they were with Doc Rivers.
Yeah, and I actually really like him as just a personality as well. I think he speaks quite well. So I'm actually quite on
relaxed.
Target. Yeah, exactly. So what do you think about... So the Suns obviously swept the Joker, the MVP, which is never a great look, but obviously the Denver were without Jamal Murray. But I thought either way, sweeping the MVP is good either way, because usually you'd say
absolutely.
Like, the MVP would sneak one game or two games.
Yeah, I thought the Nuggets would get two.
Yeah, definitely.
And like Jokic still played really well.
But I thought the Suns were unbelievable.
Yeah, they're hitting on all cylinders. Booker is like the next superstar.
Yeah,
coming in. Like, what did he have in the game on the Clippers series? He had
40-point triple double, 50% shooting. 40, like, 12, and 10 or something like that.
So he's growing up before our eyes.
Without CP3, that's huge. And, like, how awful that the COVID scare for CP3. Mm. Apparently, he's not showing any symptoms. And I think he's not playing tomorrow, which is game two. But it looks like he'll be back, at least in some capacity. But I think it shows, like, that game one win for the Suns could prove to be so important because it means it buys time for CP3.
Exactly.
Because you do think the Suns, do you think they beat the Clippers?
I think, let's say, so what, Paul was out game two.
Let's say Kawhi and CP3 both play from game three onwards.
I guess it depends what happens tomorrow. Because if the Clippers win tomorrow, it's 1-1, then I'd definitely back the Clippers to win that series. But if Phoenix got 2-0, even if Kawhi comes back,
because you don't want to be injured as well coming back.
Yeah, because you'd want to win both at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think... But yeah, if it's 1-1, I'd back the Clippers. Assuming they both come back.
Okay, so you think tomorrow's pretty pivotal.
Yeah, tomorrow's massive.
Okay.
And it'll be interesting to see if Booker can do that again.
Yep.
Because, like both teams have good depth.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Ayton's been really good.
I really Bridges enjoy been, both Bridges teams. Is good. I really enjoy
Cameron Payne's like, good.
Well, it kind of frustrated me though. So you mentioned the Terrence Mann game, the man.
Yeah.
It kind of frustrated me that yesterday, or was it yesterday they played game one? Mm. Like he had like 4 or 5 shots. Like, mate, jacket.
Yeah.
Jacket, like dead set. Like you've just gone off with 40 points or whatever. Like literally, like at least take some shots early, especially with Kawhi out. Like, so I was annoyed in that respect because I think they do need, without Kawhi, they need, so it's usually Reggie Jackson and PJ, and then they need one of Terrence Mann or the Morris brother.
Or the Morris brother, yeah.
Jeez, I'm off the Morris brothers. But
he's actually been really good this playoffs.
I know, it's kicking my head in. But you need like that third option, so that's, I think, a really important with Kawhi out.
Mm.
And what do you think for PJ, what do you think kind of like this... Well, it's been the last 5 or 6 games. He's like been really good. Like, what do you kind of think that does for his legacy? Because I knew that was in him. I knew it. It was always there.
Yeah.
But it it always frustrated me so much when he had these crumbles in the playoffs. Yeah. But I'm really happy for him, and I think he's like from like a basketball fan, like he's just so smooth to watch. And I just like, although like he has these awful games, he's awesome. And I hope he can kind of keep pushing.
I think it's massive for his legacy. Like if they win the chip and he's carried them for 5 or 6 games without Kawhi.
It's huge.
And even when Kawhi comes back, he's still going to have to play that well for them to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he ends up with the chip and, you know, the second best player or a finals MVP.
That.
Like he goes from being sort of a really good player to one of the greats.
Yeah, no, he does.
And obviously then that would carry on for the rest of his career, you'd think. He'd break all those demons and you'd think he'd perform at this level.
It's funny how one of those breaks can just completely change your whole kind of reputation. Yeah, like Dirk. Yeah.
Like Dirk was like known as like this failure. And then in 2011, he beats LeBron. And he's like,
and then now he's just literally
got this amazing legacy. Yeah.
Top 25 player of all time. Exactly. Yeah, okay. And so that kind of like sums up the kind of review of the second round. But, and we touched on it briefly. So what do you think of, first of all, Bucks? Hawks. So what's your prediction? Give me a...
Like my head says that the Bucks will be far too powerful.
Yeah.
Like who's gonna go near Giannis? Obviously that's the same for most teams, but the Hawks are so young. But like I can't write off the Hawks winning a game or two. So I'll go 4-2 Bucks.
4-2?
I think the Hawks have shown too much heart and Trey will have some game where he goes for like 40 and 15 assists.
If the Hawks win the chip or get to the finals, it's like literally
they're going to be scary for the next 10 years.
It could be like honestly, like if they won the finals this year, it would be one of the more unusual chips in history.
Yeah,
it would have to be.
They would have been paying like $100 before the season.
Because like in at least in the basketball
they were bad last year
because they were
bad at the start of this year before they got McMillan.
Weren't they the third worst team last year or something like that? But like in basketball, because of how like the playoffs work with winning 4 games out of 7, it's hard to get kind of, you don't get upsets, unusual winners as much as in like a AFL or NFL, just because it's like you can just have a bad day.
Yeah, exactly. But
if the Hawks won, that would honestly be one of the best chips ever. Like literally, just premature, I kind of want to see it, but like,
it'd be scary for the next like next 5-10 years if they win the chip this year, because Trey's only going to get better. Like Bogdanovich, Collins, Hunter,
jeez,
they're pretty loaded.
imagine if like Trey ends up having a better career than Luka.
That'd be incredible.
I probably have the Bucks 4-1 to be honest.
Yeah,
I just.
It's definitely just reeks of a Giannis like averaging 30, 10, and 10.
Exactly. It just wouldn't...
And Middleton won't... I feel like Middleton won't be scared.
Of the Hawks. You can tell.
Obviously, he was really good in the last 2 games, Middleton. But like early in the Nets series, when Kyrie was healthy, Middleton was just nowhere to be found.
And he'll just be the best wing player in the series.
Yeah.
Cause,
and the Bucks have home court.
You'd think so.
You'd think they get there.
How good are home crowds now? Like, it's so good having crowds.
It's amazing.
Because I kind of, talked my... Like, last year, having, the bubble, I kind of talked myself into being, this is hectic. It's good to even just have it.
Yeah.
But, good to have crowds back. It's actually amazing.
Just, now looking back on it, that whole bubble playoffs was so strange. Fun.
Yeah. Even just, the celebrations, AD game winner, it was cool, but, dead set, there's no crowd and you don't hear it.
You can't jump into the stands. Or,
it's just not as cool. And then, so the West. So, Suns are up 1-0 on the Clippers. And you kind of mentioned that you need that. It depends. It's heavily pinned on CP3 and Kawhi.
Yeah.
But what would be kind of your prediction for the series?
I reckon Clippers in 7. But jeez. If Kawhi didn't come back, then it'd be Suns in 5 or 6.
Yeah.
I think it's going 7. I think it's a mid series. I think it's they're pretty. They both got heaps of depth.
Both have
two absolute studs.
Yeah.
And maybe the advantage is Phoenix arguably have the best third option. Is Ayton best third option? Or is Reggie Jackson been pretty good this playoffs?
Reggie Jackson.
He looks like Dame or something. Yeah. He's hitting every three.
Dame Jackson.
Yeah. He's
been awesome. Yeah, he wears those speed dealers and it's just pull.
But the Clippers, when they play that small ball, they look pretty scary. Because they just drill every three.
Yeah. And I...
So,
Yeah. And they'll be confident. They'll be flying. Like, PJ's up and about. I think he's kind of got that monkey off his back. Yeah,
so, like, imagine how much confidence they'll get when Kawhi comes back.
Yeah, this series is going to be... I reckon it's going to be the better series.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I also hope CP3 gets back. It's going to be so stiff.
It's going to be good for, like, when he does play, like, him against the Clippers.
That's a good storyline. True, true. And, yeah, obviously... The Clippers and Suns have both never won a chip.
Clippers, this is the first time they made the conference finals.
I reckon that's just such an interesting stat. Like, obviously, I reckon that the Clippers in, like, 2013, 14, 15, they just kind of got stitched up by the Warriors. Like, I reckon,
Remember they beat the Spurs?
The
next week they were up at like 20 against Houston.
And didn't Chris Paul do his hammy?
And Corey Brewer went nuts.
Didn't Chris Paul do his hammy in that game 7? Yeah. He was on one leg.
So like they've just been renowned for choking, and now they finally like sort of got that off their back by beating the Jazz.
Yeah, well I think like that Clippers team were meant to be kind of the young guns. Like they were meant to like win a couple of chips, but then the Warriors came in and just absolutely just like torched them.
And like Blake and DeAndre were never as good as.
Well, the game changed.
Yeah.
Which is like that shows how like quickly it's changed in regards. It's just a few years, and now DeAndre Jordan couldn't even get any minutes.
Mm.
Like dead set because he's just a liability. Yeah. And which is why like Gobert is an issue and why Ben Simmons is an issue. Like you put Ben Simmons...
Like 10, 15
years ago, he's...
Unstoppable.
Like way better. Like he's literally way better off. And just like quickly, so obviously I'm a bit of a Warriors fan. What would you kind of like... What pieces would you kind of like to see at the Warriors? Obviously, I'm just throwing this question on you now, but like if you had to like, and whether like James Wiseman could be moved, Wiggins could be moved, Oubre could be moved. So there's a lot of like kind of contracts that are movable. What player would you love to see with like Steph and Clay?
So you probably want, like if you want to win a chip next year, I feel like you probably want an upgrade on Wiggins.
Yeah.
But not, like, obviously Simmons would be amazing, and I think it could work. But if you wanted to replace Wiggins as, like, a like-for-like sort of player.
Yeah.
Like a third-option scorer. A good wing.
You'd argue
like that... Like, someone like Tobias Harris, like, just, like, that kind of level.
Yeah, just, like...
Would be, like, just a someone more reliable. Who's better than Wiggins.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who's, like, a good wing. I tell you, like, who wouldn't be a bad option. Who's actually really good for Portland in the Nuggets series was Covington.
Yeah.
He's a good wing, but he's probably not upgrading Wiggins either.
Yeah, no. He's better better defender, but I wouldn't say better offensive player. I was hoping the Clippers would get knocked out so we could go hard on PJ or Kawhi.
Yeah.
But I don't really...
That'd be...
PJ? Kawhi or PJ? They wouldn't look to trade PJ?
Yeah, because obviously like Kawhi wouldn't want to leave unless PJ like choked.
Yeah, because Kawhi's also weird as. You never know. Like, he could definitely just be like,
"Oh, man." I feel like the Clippers will be like, going forward, they'll be happy with this team.
Yeah.
Because they'll be like, we made the conference finals. Even if they lose to the Suns, you know, we beat Utah without Kawhi.
Yeah.
And so going forward, if we have Kawhi healthy, and, you know, like, the West is going to open up, I reckon, because LeBron's only getting older.
Yeah.
AD's health is always an issue. Obviously, the Warriors will be better next year, but... They're still relying on Clay to be as good as he used to be.
After an ACL injuries. And an Achilles.
I think the Clippers will be pretty happy with their situation for the next couple of years.
Yeah. So, I reckon that's about it. But thanks for coming on again.
Thank you. It was good.
Probably our second last one because we'll probably surely have one before the finals.
Yeah.
And then probably an off-season. And an off-season one. Yeah. So we've probably got about 15 pods left.
Yeah.
But I will just also mention I'm having Benny on later this week for an AFL pod.
Ooh, that'd be good.
So it won't all be NBA content. But thanks again for coming on. And
thanks, brothers.
We'll see what happens in the conference finals.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Hectic.